In Washington, mourners continue to pay tribute to former President Gerald Ford. His body is lying in state in the Capitol Rotunda. His funeral is set for tomorrow. Ford's presidency is largely remembered for one key decision, the pardon of President Richard Nixon. At the time, a lot of people thought it was the wrong decision. Many since changed their minds, Senator Edward Kennedy being one of them, saying Ford was right, that in retrospect, the decision enabled the country to heal after Watergate and move forward. Michael Kazin is one of the few in Washington who still say it was the wrong decision. He's a history professor at Georgetown University, and he joins me now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, why do you disagree with a lot of politicians, a lot of historians who now say, in retrospect, that the pardon was the right thing to do?
I think that it would have been very important to make the point that no man is above the law. The pardon came, remember, only a month after President Ford took office. No charges were ever filed against President Nixon. There was no prosecution ever begun. Senator Sam Ervin, the head of the Senate Watergate Committee, who was such an important presence in the whole investigation, always said the pardon was wrong. And I think it's a very bad precedent to set that the most powerful man in the country clearly breaks the law, at least it seemed to most people as if he'd broken the law in many different ways, subverted our democracy, and never had to hear the charges against him.
And a lot of people who disagreed with Ford's decision at the time said, hey, there was probably a quid pro quo here, that he owed Nixon something.
And we'll never know for sure about that. And one thing which has come out recently in interviews that Bob Woodward did with former President Ford a couple of years ago was that Ford was very close to Nixon, had been through a lot of his congressional career. Clearly, the personal connections between Ford and Nixon had something to do with the pardon.
Well, had he not granted a pardon, and let's say Nixon was brought to trial, do you think that, I mean, would it have been possible that that would have, as people now say, riven the country even further and caused a lot of distraction when people needed to move forward?
It's possible. I think the legal proceedings would have dragged on for a while, but it's also possible that, and what I would have retrospectively favored, would be that the charges would be heard, that all the evidence would have come out, and it's not taken a long, long time for all the evidence to come out about. In fact, all the evidence has not come out yet about Nixon's part in the Watergate scandal. And then at that point, once the charges were filed, once President Nixon had admitted his guilt, which he never did, at that point, I think a pardon might have been in order. But only at that point, once we learned everything about what really had gone on in the White House. You know, I think the other side of this is that the long national nightmare that President Ford mentioned after the resignation when he took office really had more to do with Vietnam than it had to do with Watergate itself.
Now, a lot of the reporting after President Ford died was that he was a decent guy, not extremely partisan, that he was basically a moderate by today's standards. And do you think that he is getting a pass in the coverage because he was basically a nice guy, an everyman?
Well, he was a nice guy, clearly. He was not a strongly ambitious politician in many ways. He didn't really expect to be president and perhaps didn't even want to be president. But I think often we in America these days mistake personality for policy. We think that if we like the president or we like a senator or a governor, that really is the most important thing to know about them. That's not unimportant, but as an historian, I think it's more important to look at the impact of their policies on the country, on the world. And in that sense, I'd say President Ford was not a terrible president, but he wasn't a very successful one either.
Michael Kazin teaches history at Georgetown University. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.